The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 7 degrees and sunny with some clouds at Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Gabriel Watson, and here are today's headlines. Can Montreal's new mayor solve the transit strike? New restrictions on religious students, and people are losing faith in democracy. As the SDM maintenance worker strike enters day 4, the union is calling on new mayor-elect Soraya Martinez-Ferrada to step in. Can commuter frustrations see a light at the end of the tunnel? Manoj Subramaniam has been following the latest developments, and he joins us now live from an SDM maintenance workshop where union workers are picketing. Manoj, what is the latest on the negotiations?
Gabriel, the short answer is that the negotiations are at a standstill. I'm in front of the SDM workshop in Rosemont. 20. On a normal workday, one might hear the sounds of metal clinking as they work, but today it is replaced by horns, whistles, and slogans. The union says the SDM made concessions last week by offering to increase the salaries by 13.5% compared to 12% that was on the table until last week. But Benoit Guilford, the CSN Montreal board president, says it is still far below what other transit unions in Quebec have managed to get. So it is at a standstill. Gabriel?
Mayor-elect Soraya Martinez-Ferrada has said resolving the strike will be a top priority for her administration. Does the union hold out any hope?
I asked before the exact question. He said that while the mayor-elect can make promises, the bus ultimately stops at the provincial government.
We will take all the help we need to come to an agreement. That's the objective. But the fact remains that most of the situation is between the hands of the provincial government, since they control a large part of the funding of the STM.
In the meantime, what options do commuters have?
Until November 28th, metro and buses will keep regular hours during rush hour and late evening. And if the bus drivers and metro operators strike again on November 15th, and 16th, we will see a repeat of what happened last Saturday, a complete shutdown of the transit.
Political analyst Robert Frank agrees with Guilford. He says even if the new mayor gets involved, it's only a short-term fix.
Difficulty long-term is that the STM is effectively on long-term life support. It does not function economically.
Gabriel?
Thanks, Manoj. Earlier today, an 18-year-old driver got in a serious accident when the car he was driving crashed into a lamppost in Montreal's East End. Montreal police said the incident occurred at 12:10 a.m. on Pera Boulevard near 54th Avenue in the borough of Rivière-des-Prairies, Pointe-aux-Trembles. The driver sustained critical injuries to his upper body, but after being treated at a hospital, his injuries were deemed not life-threatening. The circumstances leading to the crash is, as of date, unknown, but collision reconstruction analysts are currently at the scene to try to determine the cause behind the accident. The provincial government is expanding secularism in school. The ban on religious symbols and face coverings will now include all school staff. At the same time, students will no longer be allowed to wear face coverings. Zach Zutres has the story.
The National Council of Canadian Muslims is against the ban in schools. The council believes it restricts Quebecers' religious freedoms. Stephen Zhu, spokesperson for the council, says Muslim women are affected more than others.
Visibly Muslim women, for instance, will be even more disproportionately impacted by laws like Bill 94, like Bill 21. We've been saying that for a long time.
The English Montreal School Board will look into the new law and see how it could contest it in court. The MSB has taken their case against Bill 21 to the Supreme Court. Joe Ortona, president and chairman of the MSB, says the government is not prioritizing education.
Education is not a priority at all, because they are not addressing any of the issues that actually affect education.
The EMSB, however, will have no choice but to enforce the ban to avoid legal repercussions. Zhu says it will be a very difficult task to explain this to children.
It's an impossible task for so many parents to have to tell their children your religion or your religious identity is not accepted within the society you live.
Zach Dutra for Concordia News.
Mark Carney's government is set to present their first federal budget later today. Experts warn that this new federal budget will cause the federal deficit to severely increase. Carney has said in the past that his government plans to transform the economy, in part by doubling Canada's non-US exports over the next decade. The minority Liberal government has 169 seats in the House of Commons and needs at least 3 members of the opposition to support the budget if it has any chance of passing. If the federal budget fails to pass, then the government could go into shutdown. There could be a loss of confidence vote and a snap election. The government promises a new economic path that would restore the future of Canadians, but the opposition says a deficit budget will bring up the cost of living. Hassan Bale has a story.
Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne's today's budget will be full of what he calls generational investments that should boost the economy and help it weather the current trade war. Some observers say the deficit this fiscal year could be as high as $100 billion, more than double the deficit the Conservatives wanted. Moshe Lander, senior economics lecturer at Concordia, thinks Canada needs to run a deficit.
They're going to have to run a deficit. That's just the way it is. And so for anybody who gets agitated right now about running a deficit, if not now, when?
Whether Canadians will see tangible benefits from the budget remains to be seen. And the debate over the risks and the rules of a large deficit is likely to shape political discussions in the months ahead. For Concordia News, I am Hassan Bale.
Concerns about the strength of democracy in Canada continues to grow. A new cross-Canada study found that Canadians are worried about the threats to the foundations of democracy in the country. So, Sarah, what are Canadians scared about?
Well, Gabriel, the study found that over two-thirds of Canadians say they believe political influences could start to affect court decisions in Canada. Over 90% of respondents say they are concerned about political interference in court systems and rulings. Mark Perez, representative of the Coalition of Democracy of Montreal, says this is a real issue.
When we read the Canadian Charter of Rights, we read it and we see that there are certain rights that are there, and then all of a sudden they're being infringed upon, and it takes an eternity for an organization to go out there and to fight them.
Why is this problem more prominent now?
Well, the current state of the government in the United States is leading Canadians to feel worried. Almost half of Canadians believe the undermining of the law they see in the United States could also happen in Canada. According to Dr. Felix Prout, Director of Evidence for Democracy, Dr. Felix Prue says the current state of the United States gives Canadian democracy many reasons for concern.
Not even a year ago, it would have been very hard for anybody here to predict what would happen in the United States following the election of Donald Trump. And this is something that we've seen, the speed at which this administration has been dismantling the safeguards and all of the protections that have been hard-earned by, say, the science and research community over many, many decades have vanished in a matter of weeks and months. So our democracy is very fragile.
So what can be done?
Well, 87% of Canadians have public mistrust in courts. So according to Dr. Prue, public trust in our government and institutions increases when governments are transparent about the reasons to support decision making.
It's when you have these conditions that basically public trust in institution grows, and not when decisions are made just following blindly ideology or gut feeling, if you want. It's really by informing decision-making that we get the best outcomes possible for every Canadian.
Mark Perez says we need to implement the rights to referendum and said the process to challenge laws should be timely.
Thanks, Sarah. A new report from the Salvation Army, the known national charity that supports vulnerable Canadians, reveals growing worries about jobs insecurity and the rising cost of daily life. Many are feeling the pressure, and the report highlights the stress and psychological impact that this financial uncertainty is having on the people across the country. Lucas Faniche has the story.
Concerns about job insecurity have more than doubled, rising from 22% in 2025 from 10% last year, according to Salvation Army's latest Canadian Poverty and Socioeconomic Analysis report. Data showed that the housing and healthcare are remaining the top priorities and worries for Canadians. The rising cost of living is driving some citizens to make hard decisions, while the report points out that U.S. tariffs and ongoing trade disputes as a key factor behind the rise of prices, Gled Van Golik from Salvation Army says a lot of people seeking help never expected to be here.
Many of of them have said, I've been donating to you guys. I've been donating to the Salvation Army, and I now need your support. And so, you know, we know that people are making really tough choices. We don't want people to make those difficult decisions between paying the rent or putting food on the table for their family.
Apart from putting people in difficult financial positions, the report shows that cost of living stress is also fueling growing anxiety. Psychologist Dr. Michael Bukowski warns that this strain can lead to serious relational and mental health complications, as a rising number of people struggle with uncertainty over finances, job, and basic necessities.
People don't have the same levels of self-control when they're experiencing a lot of insecurity as they do at times when they're not experiencing insecurity. And this kind of the lack of control can result in emotional outbursts, can lead to relational aggression.
As economic uncertainty remains a rising issue, experts and advocates warn that without greater support, more Canadians could be pushed to the edge, not only financially, but emotionally. For Concordia News, I'm Lucas Fanichet.
The Hells Angels have erected a monument to their fallen members at the Church of St. Basile le Grand. The estimated cost of the headstone is around $15,000. The residents of the town, under the guise of anonymity, have voiced serious disapproval towards the headstone, claiming that it makes no sense and that it's intimidating. Minister of Public Security, Ian Lafreniere, is shocked by this development. He claims that to see such a monument is very misplaced. Municipal officials say they are reviewing the situation, but for now, the monument remains in place. The Maple Leafs defeat the Penguins. The Cardinals bounce back, and a goal at the buzzer leads the Bucks to victory. Here is Charlotte Theofanous with all your sports news.
It's 2-1, save the rebound, they score!
That was Bobby McMahon scoring the tie-breaking goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday at the Scotiabank Arena, beating the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3. In the third period, the puck darted past Tristan Jarry's glove into the net. Thanks to this shot, the team recovered after being behind by 3 goals. This was McMahon's first goal in the last 8 games. After beating the Ottawa Senators 4-3 on Saturday, the Montreal Canadiens are hosting a home game against the Philadelphia Flyers at the Bell Centre tonight at 7. This will be their first time playing against each other this season, with Sam Montembeau in nets.
First and goal from the 12. Brissette lets it fly. End zone, McBride, touchdown!
The Arizona Cardinals made a comeback on Monday after breaking their run of 5 consecutive losses. Trey McBride is to thank for this 27-17 win at the AT&T Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys, making the winning touchdown after quarterback Jacoby Brissett passed him the ball. This win sparked controversy for the Cardinals, who are now speculating whether Brissett should replace Kyler Murray, their contract QB who Brissett is filling in for because of a foot injury.
Nice!
That was Giannis Antetokounmpo making the winning 17-foot shot for the Milwaukee Bucks on Monday, right at the buzzer. Antetokounmpo was a team player that night, contributing 33 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists for the team's 117-115 win against the Indiana Pacers. Climbing back up north, almost half of Canada was tuned into Game 7 of the World Series on Saturday, watching the Toronto Blue Jays appearing in the World Series for the first time in over 30 years. This was the country's most watched English broadcast ever, apart from the Winter 2010 Olympics, with over 18.5 million Canadians watching all or some of the game.
Thanks, Charlotte. Montreal Symphony Orchestra has teamed up with the Médecins Francophones du Canada organization. This collaboration is allowing patients who call the orchestra with a prescription from their doctor 2 free tickets to the show. The goal of this collaboration is explained by cardiologist Dr. Christopher Lambos as getting people to interact with their environments, to not be socially isolated. And when you use music therapy, it calms people down. The initiative is still considered a startup, with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra only giving out 100 tickets to physicians. They hope, however, that this trend will catch on and the project will grow. Who knows? One day booking a checkup might be the easiest way to score the best seats in town. Today's weather is mostly sunny, but the same cannot be said for the rest of the week, as we expect clouds and rain Wednesday and Friday. We expect to see rain Wednesday with highs of 7, Thursday is cloudy with highs of 4, and Friday is rainy with highs of 6 degrees. Get your snow boots and winter tires ready, as this weekend is expected to see the first snowfall of the year, with Saturday and Sunday expected to hit 0 degrees. That's your news to 11:45. Thanks for listening. And for Concordia News, I'm Gabriel Watson.